Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and the Welsh has the flu. Not with us. I don't know. Like, I guess it's one of those things when you have kids, you are just constantly sick because they are always getting sick. So, it's funny because over the last week, I know it's that time of year, but I've had Welsh miss a show now. My buddy Jonas missed a show. And this guy that I have with me today, Casey Bubba, who you know from hour three of every other show. And he helped me out a couple weeks ago when Welsh was on his anniversary doing stuff and all that. But he did the show last week after surgery. So there's no rest for the weary. Casey Bubba, what's going on, man?
What's going on, my man? I guess that's the lesson you learn is I own dogs, you own cats, we record. It's just how things work. It's a great world we live in. It's just, you know, you make certain decisions in life and you there's consequences. And this is just a great life lesson to people that keep life simple.
Yeah, don't have kids. That's what we're saying. That's the message.
Don't be a fool. Wrap the tool. Very simple.
That's right. That's the message that Bubba and I, well, I don't know about all that, but
that's the depends if you got all the right boxes checked, I guess. Never mind. I'm going to keep.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you're throwing it out there like these are softballs and I have to be Casey at the bat. Right. I have to not. I got to let him go. So
I almost threw a finger over a hose joke, but I stopped.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, so anyway, the good news is something that Casey and I are thankful for: zero shares of children. So no sickness for us. But, you know, it's just the way it goes. And I know I'm going to get sick, and I appreciate because the Welsh was like, I can go in like an hour. And I'm like, don't. No, we're not going. So it's fine. You know, stay home, rest and recuperate. And also when I'm that sick, I'm going to be like, no, I'm not doing anything. So this is almost like, look, man, you stay home and do whatever, recuperate, rest, try to get something down, you know, try to eat something. But for me, when I'm that sick, I'm dead to the world. I will not answer my phone. Don't talk to me. So I'm worse than, you know, I know a lot of my buddies' wives are like, oh, when they get sick, it's the end of the world and blah, blah, blah. I'm worse than all of that. I'm just like, I get a stuffy nose and I'm like that. I hate it. I can't stand being sick. When people are sick around me, I'm like, get away from me. Do not touch me. Don't touch anything I own. I'm walking around like this is the time of year. I'm not a big like antibacterial soap guy or like I don't need to rub Purell all over my face.
I totally pictured you from like a guy with the Purell on it, like a keychain with it.
You would think, but I'm not like that. But I do like I'll put a bottle of Purell in my car, like and in my house, like now, like in December to February is really the worst part.
Are you a flu shot guy then? Do you have to get the flu shot?
No, I usually don't get the flu shot because I feel
it already makes you sick.
Well, yeah. OK, it makes me sick and I feel like crap for that day when I get the flu shot. I've had it in the past, I think one time. But also, I thought that I was doing the right thing because I thought in my mind you weren't supposed to get a flu shot if you were like under 55 or 60 because you're trying to save it for the older people. And I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. So
plenty of old people down there. Yes.
Plenty of old people and kids. Like I thought the flu shot was
for old
people.
Most of the ones in the
kids.
Scottsdale area are like juiced up on the proper blood flows and different transfusions and stuff. You have to go outside of Scottsdale for the flu.
Right. We're all vampires here. So yeah. It's but no, I know what you're talking about. But the thing is. I thought that was the right way to do it, but apparently I was listening to another podcast and this lady was talking about how her doctor told her, no, young people are supposed to get the flu shot too because you can have a mild form of the flu and not even know it and give it to an older person. So I guess this is what I was listening to on the podcast, and it wasn't like a, you know, I wasn't listening to the Sun Your Butthole podcast or anything, you know.
Oh, that's changing the world right now, by the way.
Yeah, like, we talked about it on a secret show.
You can't even call it a brown eye anymore.
It's the flight that you take. It's the red eye because it's sunburned. So
that's good. I didn't even think about that. That's good.
It's so stupid. Like, I was going over that with the Welsh, and I was like, I just like the weird propaganda for unusual health stuff. Like, if it works for you, great, that's fine. But are you really going to go on the internet and tell people that sunning your butthole makes you, it does anything for them? Like, maybe it does something for you, that's great. I would suggest it's most likely a placebo effect, but yes. Okay. You know, if it does something for you, how can you go out there and recommend it? And why are people listening to random people on the internet?
Well, to be fair, they're listening to us right now. So, like, people.
No, but we're giving them goofy fantasy football advice.
Eventually, we'll get to that, I promise.
Right.
But, I have to ask you a question. If you're doing your DoorDash or whatever your side gig is,
yeah,
and say it was like the message was, hey, I'm by the pool, deliver it, and you ran around the corner and his ankles were in the air, and what would you do?
It wouldn't be the most awkward situation I've delivered to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I delivered to an orgy. About?
Tell me you brought like pasta or something messy.
I brought pizzas. It was
then the pepperoni on it.
It was yeah. I was like, did they really order sausage? What is this all about?
Lover special.
Yeah. Oh God. No, I delivered to an orgy one time. It was a while ago, but I get to this house and I'm pissed because I don't want to be working and I want this to be my last one. I'm ringing the doorbell. I'm pounding on the door. Nobody's answering. I call the number. Nobody's answering. I'm about to walk away. And these two girls answer the door with towels wrapped around them. And they're laughing. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what's going on here. And then they like drop their towels. And I'm like, what? What is happening right now?
It's called an invitation, Bogman.
Right. And I'm like, am I going to wake up at some point here? What is happening? And then
I've seen the start of this movie.
Right. Many times have I seen the start of this movie. Yes. And I never thought I thought it would have been, you know, starring me.
Did you ask, like, what disease do I have? Is the Make-A-Wish Foundation? What are we doing here?
I didn't even know, but they knew what my wish was. So this is amazing. But then two naked dudes came around the corner and I was like, what is happening? And then they grabbed the pizzas and I was like, okay. I was like, what is happening in here? And they're like, we're having an orgy. And I was like, all right, have a great night.
So nonchalant about it and everything.
Yeah. I'm walking back to my truck and then a naked girl comes out the front of the house. And this is in a cul-de-sac, you know. And she's like, do you have cheese and peppers? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, they didn't give me any. And then I drove away. So,
and this is why flu shots aren't important in Scottsdale, folks.
That's right.
More important things to worry about. Penicillin, for instance.
How much money would I have made if I brought condoms? You know?
I'm guessing that wasn't on the top of their bucket list at that point in time.
I heard that when they were filming the Jersey Shore and stuff, they gave away Valtrex like they were M&Ms to the cast because just everyone was riddled with herpes. So
it's probably Jim Tan, laundry, get rid of your STDs.
Oh, man, I have no idea how we got here. This is from, anyway, the Welsh has the flu, you know. So,
well, he's got something blowing out one end. We blew it out the other end. We're here.
Right. Exactly. So follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports. That is at the Welsh at BD Entrick. And I mean, just a weird, weird conversation that we've started here with. But we had even weirder stuff going on yesterday in football. Of course, there are the three pro games that we're going to get to at some point here. But the biggest thing that happened yesterday, I thought, was hilarious. Ole Miss and Mississippi State were playing for the Egg Bowl, and Mississippi was down. They score a touchdown with whatever it was, 4 seconds left. And Mississippi State's mascot is a bulldog. They're playing at Mississippi State, where they got all the annoying bell cows or cowbells and all that stuff. So this guy, Elijah Moore, scores the touchdown, and then he's on the ground and he does a dog pee leg lift thing, like he's a bulldog, you know, and they got penalized. Mississippi State did, and they had to nail the extra point to go into overtime, and the kicker missed the extra point. So it might be the dumbest penalty I've ever seen. Like, if you know that your kicker's shaky, don't do anything like that. And how selfish can you be? And, you know, the of course, the team came out today and made the fake statements. I always call them the fake statements, you know, of we're so sorry, we apologize, we don't condone this type of action. Like, who cares, really? I mean, it's just a weird celebration that got a little bit out of hand. It's not like he, you know, stole anything or hit someone or, you know, from the stuff that we've seen in the NFL this year, Bubba, this is innocuous, right?
This is nothing. And like, honestly, I could be totally wrong, but it doesn't even feel like OBJ got penalized when he did that a couple of years ago. I could be wrong. Maybe he did. But I don't feel like he did.
Was that against the Browns, too, and he wound up playing for the Browns?
I think so, yes. It was just OBJ being OBJ. But we haven't seen that celebration this year because he's found the end zone, what, once? But this college thing is great because I've been to Ole Miss, and I know this game was at Mississippi State, but the Ole Miss folk, they're not really pee on random things people. So the fact that I would love to hear what their booster department thought of this one, because for me, I think it's hilarious. For those that follow college football, and if you listen to Bogman, you probably do. Rivalries are amazing. That's like one of the best things of college football. When you get in these environments, even, you know, I've gone to the Big Ten rivalry games for Wisconsin. I've gone to even the big game, Cal Stanford, which to many they laughed because it's called the big game, but it's just like a small kind of homey environment. It's like, right. It's so lame once you leave. Once you go east of the Rockies, it's like a different animal. But just the fact that it's a rivalry, these teams are never in contention for anything, and it's just brutal. Like, you got the tree out there dressed as something goofy. The bands get suspended for stuff all the time. But that's the beauty of it. Like, for like the fact we're getting mad at a kid that did a gesture which basically mimicked the mascot. What if the mascot's out there peeing on the Ole Miss logo at Oxford next year? Are we gonna penalize them for that? The dog had to go. Like, let's be real about it.
So, well, I think the dog doesn't know any better than the person does is the difference here.
Hey, CTE is a hell of a problem. So let's just be honest. Like, I bet you he's barely got like a 2.5 GPA.
I mean, I have no idea what his GPA is. I hadn't heard anything about him really outside of just his stat line before this happened. But would it surprise you to know, you know, the I believe, I don't know which one it was, but I know there's a dog show on.
Yes. On Thanksgiving Day.
On Thanksgiving Day. Is that the Westminster Dog Show? Is that on Thanksgiving?
I can't remember. I thought it used to be a different time. They changed the date. I get my dog shows mixed up. Big dog fan.
Yeah.
Dog shows. It's a problem I have. I'll admit it. First to admit it, problem, mixed them up.
Did you see the dog that won?
Yes, and it just happens to be. I know where you're going with this one. A bulldog.
It was a bulldog. Yes.
And he didn't piss anywhere.
No, he didn't. He did not pee on anything. And I just thought that it was funny that a bulldog won the dog show, and then the Bulldogs won their showdown with Ole Miss after this whole peeing gate. So, but it got me kind of thinking about the dumbest penalties ever. Like, this was so dumb, it cost him the game. And it's not many times that you can, you know, I mean, there's many, many things you can say that it didn't cost him the game, because a game never really comes down to one play. But in this case, it did. And they lost the game because they got penalized. I mean, maybe he doesn't do that. The kid still shanks the extra point. Who knows? But it looked like it would have been good from about five fewer yards out. But who knows? But the dumbest penalty that I've ever seen in my life was Vontaze Burfict hitting Antonio Brown in the head during the playoff game, because the Bengals still haven't won a playoff game since 1990. And that was probably the dumbest penalty I've seen in my life. Can you think of the dumbest penalty you've ever seen?
No, I really don't, because back, you know, when football was fun, we didn't see as many penalties. So it doesn't really ring a bell to me as often anymore. At least not game changer stuff. And kickers used to be more consistent. Now every kicker misses everything now. So it's really none of them like ring a bell to me. I just laugh more than anything because they're just dumb enough to do it. Like you mentioned, you know, the flip side of Vontaze Burfict ever since that penalty, when AB hasn't been the same either. So that, like, we got the whole drama from that this year. But honestly, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything real. Cal Stanford, I guess, when the band did screw up at halftime and did some very, I'm not going to describe. It goes along with your orgy story, stuff they did at the halftime show. Stanford actually got penalized to start the second half on the kickoff. So that happened. But to cost a game, not off the top of my head, no. More, it's more just bad passes like Phillip Rivers in the corner of the end zone, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can remember all kinds of mistakes, the penalties. Like, to be honest, the penalties that you in general remember aren't so much for boneheadedness. I mean, I watched, like, I was trying to go through and kind of remember. So I watched the video, and the dumbest one, the one that got number one, was the extra timeout from Chris Webber.
Yeah, that one makes a lot of, yeah, that one's the one that rings the bell. I guess real quick before you go, the reason why I don't remember anything is I don't have a lot of winning teams.
That's just sad.
So it never matters.
So, I mean, I know that, you know, referee, there's all kinds of controversial calls. I mean, we've had the, you know, last year in the NFC Championship was the most recent one. And then, you know, of course, Super Bowl 40. Every Seahawks fan has to cry about the referees in that game, where there were three bad penalties in that entire game, by the way. So and one of them was against the Steelers, but two of them were huge calls against the Seahawks. I understand that. But it changes the momentum of the game sometimes. But I'm just have always firmly been in the camp of you cannot blame the referees for losing a game. You know, you could have done stuff unless it's just blatant or a book comes out about it, you know, for point shaving like Tim Donaghy or whatever.
Well, I was going to say the Tim Donaghy thing. Like, I was at one of those games in the postseason, Kings Lakers. And the thing is, the Kings missed so many free throws.
Right.
Like, there's so many. I'm 100% with your process of don't blame a couple things on the issue. A game's four quarters or two halves or whatever. There's so many other points in the game you could have done something better to not been needing that call to go your way type thing.
Exactly, exactly. But we got to hit a break. So we're going to take a break, but dig in because we've got the rest of the 3 hours coming up for you right here on the Sports Grid. Stick with us.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach?
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building.
In This League.
Has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Really? Hello and welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Find me on Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined by Casey Bubba, at BD Entrick, on the Twitter machine. And I know you're not the biggest basketball guy in the world. Do you follow? How much basketball would you say you follow?
I follow enough to play some DFS from time to time. So it's kind of what I need to know. I love basketball. I just have so many other things. I really don't know how you guys do basketball, too. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's it takes up a lot of time, of course. There's games every night. They're on till late. But we also do the Hardwood Takeaway show, the Welsh and I, for the Sports Grid here. So check out that if you're an NBA fan. But I thought this was interesting because there are guys that I love in the NBA. Now, I am a self-admitted, I wouldn't say hater is the right word, but I would say I'm very critical of a guy like Kyrie Irving. Because to me, Kyrie Irving's an amazing player, but he shoots himself in the foot with some of the stuff that he says. And like the problems that he had in Boston last year, I don't know how much you paid attention to it, but the problems he had in Boston last year when it was, I think that 50% of his issues are attitude related. You know, if you just change your attitude a little bit, appreciated things a little bit more, like, I just don't like it when a guy says something like, there's no way I'm playing this game till I'm 32. I'm going to be done at 29. It's like, well, you know, you say that, but maybe you make some bad investments. You know, maybe you want to stick around and get paid millions of dollars to put a ball through a hoop. Now, of course, that comes with a lot of social pressures and stuff like that. And, he put himself in this situation, though. He forced his way out of Cleveland to go to Boston, and then Boston didn't work. So now he's on the Nets, and you know, the Nets went to Boston the other night, and he wasn't even at the game because he's been hurt. He's missed 8 games in a row, and the Boston fans were not taking too kindly to him and chanting Kyrie sucks. Did you see all that?
Yeah, Boston went full, you know, Ray Donovan Irish up in that place. And I would have been terrified if I was there, if I was Kyrie. It felt like, you know, if you're in Philadelphia and you were Santa Claus, it was a bad place. They really had, like, they have some vindictive anger toward Kyrie, which I don't blame them, because I did pay attention to that whole saga. And like when he left Cleveland, because I don't want to be with LeBron and all this stuff. And, you know, this guy just seems like a diva. He should be playing wide receiver somewhere, or he's like Yasiel Puig in baseball. And it's like the talent's great, but no one wants to keep you because all you do is cry and complain. So, yeah, I saw that when they were chanting Kyrie sucks, that was, and Kimba goes bananas, his replacement. So it was just a double whammy of, yeah, we don't really need you around here.
Yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie had a great game again today. They played the early game. We're recording this the Friday after Thanksgiving, and he had 30 points and like 2 blocks and 2 steals.
Ever since Kyrie's been out, because that is one thing. Like I said, I play DFS. So I know more than I play. I just can't keep all the conversation.
Right.
But Dinwiddie has been cheap and good, and he's been putting up like solid all around numbers, rebounds, assists. I know my lingo, and points. Like he's been a double double, triple double threat from time to time. He's been pretty darn good out there.
Yeah, he's been great. So especially for points leagues, he's been huge, which most of the time DFS is doing points, from as far as I know. But this Kyrie made a post on Instagram, and I want to read it because I don't think breaking it down and describing it would give it context. So I think I just need to read it, and here it is. It happens all the time, and tonight just shows how sports/entertainment will always be ignorant and obtrusive. It's one big show, all caps. That means very, very little in the real world that most people live in, because there are actually things that matter going on within it, like figuring out a life that means more than a damn ball going into a hoop, or learning how to grow up being in a fishbowl of a society based on your popularity level as a person, or even dealing with becoming the leader of your family after someone's passing and knowing how to deal with life after it happens. But this game of sports entertainment matters more than someone's mental health and well-being, right? Or the real life things that happen to people every day, but they still have to perform for the NBA and its fans, right? It's all about doing it for the fans and organization that you love so much. Think again. It's a game, and it's promoted as a fandom experience for ticket buyers and viewers at home, while defacing who people truly are as people, then spat out all over these media networks as variable food for thought, while they actually believe that their opinions hold weight to real cultural leaders and speak and act for change. One big gimmick with some smoke and mirrors. I'll always be the one that takes the stand and speaks on the truth every time, though. A purposeful and spiritually led life will always be bigger and more meaningful than any sports arena or any entertainment space. Sorry, I lost my train of thought here. The game isn't
meant Kyrie, it's okay.
The game isn't meant to be controlled and shown as a drama. Yes, it is. It's meant to show the love. Love for the art is the only damn thing that keeps the purest people in this giant sports entertainment circus. Don't fall for the game that's played in front of you as entertainment. It'll never be as serious as dealing with life. So, your initial reaction to the wall of text right there that Kyrie dropped after people chanted Kyrie sucks.
That's one of those, like when you break up with your girlfriend and you just want to like keep it simple and say like, okay, we're done. And you get the little wall of text afterwards. Wow. That's like the first thing I say is, wow. Like, is he sipping on the Antonio Brown Kool-Aid right now? He talks mental health. He talks this, that, and the other. He mentions it as a circus after he calls it not a show early on, which, hello, Kyrie, you're getting paid to put on a show.
Right.
You are in a game. It is a game. If you want to look up game in the dictionary, it's a show. Circus. There's a lot of ways to go about it. It's almost like he didn't realize what he signed up for. I guess he was getting paid in college, so he's good now. I have no idea. I'm really confused on where his head's at in this. Is it he wants to do it for the passion? He doesn't want to because he's a mental case. It's one of the things that we talked about with Antonio Brown a while back. When these guys say things like this, it's almost like you need to just – you know, get him in a room with someone and get some help for him, because it's almost like there's more to it than they're just crying. They're crying for help type thing, if that makes sense. I want to clown on it because it was really just ridiculous and run-ons and kind of contradicted itself over and over again. And he forgets the whole purpose of playing basketball. You can play it because it's a passion, yes, but you're also getting paid to put on entertainment. Yes. That is what this is. It is entertainment, plain and simple.
And I think you're absolutely right. And the bottom line is this is your job, right?
Yes.
So I don't know what you're saying. I guess that, you know, people have to show up at work after bad stuff happens to them. You know, you get in a fight with your boss, you get in a fight with a coworker or whatever. Does that mean you get to take the day off? No,
exactly.
It doesn't. You got to go back and you got to work. I think it's funny that a guy who's been a millionaire since he was a teenager wants to talk about real life issues and problems. And it's not that he doesn't deserve the money. He absolutely does, because he's a great basketball player. He's one of the best in the world, and he worked hard to achieve that. So it's just, I really don't like it when people get past or are, you know, good enough to be done with something from their past and then they bash it. This is the thing that made you who you are today. You have to have a little appreciation for it. And I'm not saying like everything is that way, particularly work. You know what I mean? Like, because you could have had, you know, a bad parent experience or a bad family experience, and you can bash your family and that's where you came from. That's different. I'm just talking about the work that put you in the position that you're in today, and to bash that and to kill the NBA. Like, what is the NBA supposed to say? Like, they've already made all kinds of rules about what the fans can say to the players on the court, because they had issues with that last year. You know what I mean? And I get that his feelings are hurt, and which is really what it comes down to. Your pride and your feelings are hurt when the whole entire city is chanting Kyrie sucks. But you also, you didn't make it easy for them. You didn't leave amicably. You know, when Kemba went back to Charlotte, they did a 15-minute, this is a video for Kemba, and he cried during it. Like, he was touched because he was a nice guy at his job. He treated everybody fairly and nicely, and that's what you get when you go back to a situation where you treated people the right way. And it's clear that Kyrie did not do that, and that's why people don't like him. So I don't know. I kind of thought when I saw this, I'm like, what is he doing? Now, I love Kyrie because he always says something controversial, and he gives me something to talk about on Hardwood Takeaways, you know, once every couple days, it seems. And that's why I love Enes Kanter, too. Like, when Enes Kanter isn't... I don't like the political stuff as much, obviously, because that's not, you know, it's not a talking point I want to get into on any of my shows as we're doing.
Yeah, it's not a fun talking point.
Yeah, I mean, I never really understood that from people in our situation. Like, you know, why don't we talk about politics so we can alienate 50% of our audience?
Yep. Yeah, makes no thanks. Zero sense. No sense. Yeah.
No thanks. But I do love it when he's eating 21 cheeseburgers or whatever it was, and then can't play the next day. Because he's
a man of our own heart.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't really know. I don't know that I had a great point to make on Kyrie here. I just thought this was an interesting story.
Well, what it is, like, it's anybody in life. Like, you mentioned the work stuff. I can't go and write a long thing like this about my job and expect not to catch flack for it. Right. That's just plain and simple. He's basically, his whole career, everywhere he's gone, and this is why he cries everywhere he goes, he gets called out for his BS. Right. And he doesn't like that. He wants to live in a world where he's, you know, great and everyone appreciates him and all this cookie cutter great stuff, which sadly, my friend, we don't have. That just does not exist. So it's like either just play and do your job, or if you want to call it early, you know, we're going to talk about the Thanksgiving Day games. Barry Sanders was in the booth on that first game. He retired right after 10 years when all of us thought, dude, you could run for like 10 more. But he talks about it. He was happy. He was healthy. He didn't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
It was fun and simple. But he didn't go out there and write paragraphs and stuff and tick people off. He's a god in Detroit because of what he did.
And he might just be lucky because that wasn't available to him. You know what I mean? Like, he could be, he could be a head case. He doesn't seem like he is, but he could be a head case. And he, you know, just the social media stuff wasn't available to him.
We could stick with Detroit. Look at Megatron.
Yeah.
You stopped early. And you kind of had social media then, not as strong, obviously, as it is now. But you had that then. And now the things have come out, how he had to smoke weed because of his, you know, head and all these things he was doing and how miserable it was being on a losing team all the time. But he never made a big scene about it like Kyrie does. Right. It's just, it's like, yes, no one wants to lose this, that, and the other. But Kyrie hasn't been losing. He won championships, I believe, at least one. With Cleveland before he left, he's, you know, they played really well at Boston. They were darn close in Boston when he was there. Brooklyn's not going to be a complete joke. They have good talent there.
And they're going to get Durant back next year, too.
Exactly. So. And if he's crying now, you got Durant, who has some ego issues from time to time, too. This could be like, holy mother. Maybe Kyrie should retire early if Brooklyn wants to make this work, because that was kind of almost the most impressive thing about Golden State with the big group there is, because Kevin Durant would have his little moments where you're about to go, okay, this thing's about to blow. It's coming. And then something would happen, like Clay would give him the good gummies or something. I don't know.
Well, I think that was the stuff that was between him and Dre. Like, because Draymond is demanding.
But Draymond's the baby back. He's just, dude, it's amazing. Like, I love how his hustle is out there and the way he plays. He's like a big man that wants to play small, all this stuff. I respect that. But I'm telling you, Boggs, I know you watch a lot more than I do, but I do watch a lot of Warriors out here in California. And this dude cries all the time.
I hate him.
He does, he does a lot of stupid fouls that just, like, he almost injures people all the time.
He kicks guys in the balls. Like, you've seen it on multiple times. Like, he's done that a bunch of times. I don't know. Like, Draymond is one of those guys where if you're a Warriors fan and you love the Warriors, you love Draymond. If you
The funny thing is, there's a lot of Warriors fans out here that do not.
Okay. Maybe he's got to that point, but he's kind of like the, you know, there's like Gerardo Parra, Yasiel Puig. Yes. You know, these are the guys that if they're on your team, you love them. And if they're not on your team, you hate them.
Barry freaking Bonds. Yo. I'm a diehard Barry Bonds fan. I guarantee you, I probably feel differently if he was not a Giant the whole time.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you.
You hate him, don't you?
Well, he told me to get the F off of his lawn. So, yeah, I never told you that story.
Well, sir, this orgy was next door.
I was just trying to tell anybody I could about it. And you were standing right there. Dude, there's an orgy next door. Get the F off my lawn. That's exactly how it went down. No other way could that have gone down. That's exactly what it was. At the same timing, all that stuff. But no, I mean, you know, the in Scottsdale is where the Giants play. And he rented a house down the street from my buddy when I was in high school. And my buddy got to meet him and he was super nice. And I saw him standing outside of his, you know, his house. And I said, hey, I'm Nate's buddy. I just wanted to come get the F out of here. All right.
Well, he was probably cycling. You had him at the wrong time. He was cycling.
Yeah, I know. It was a little bit too Game of Shadows. But getting back to Kyrie, maybe it's just the wrong timing. You know what I mean? Because I guarantee you, if he waited until after he retired at 31, because clearly he's not going to play till he's 32, so he says, you know, when he retires at 31 and he writes his book about how terrible life as an athlete is and how under the microscope you are, and I get it, but you're also compensated for that. Like, and I'm not
paid billions of dollars to live this life.
Right. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that, you know, first of all, I don't think it's a very classy move from the Boston fans to chant Kyrie sucks, but they're fans. What do you expect? You know, and we all know the story about, you know, what are people in big groups? They're idiots. You know, they all do the worst thing. Groupthink in general is terrible. So when you get all those fans together, but also they're fans, they're trying to have a good time at the game. Well, being the bad guy. Do that.
Related to football, where all the fans booed Andrew Luck when the retirement thing came out.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then they all regret it. Half of them regret it halfway through, but they were there, so they did it.
Right.
It's stuff like that. That's like, at least that's the best comparison I can think of.
No, that's a great comparison. And it's just, I like I said, I don't like it when people bash, like I've heard even actors doing it, like they'll bash their roles that they had when they were coming up. It's like, you know, maybe you didn't have the most fun at that job, but somebody gave you a chance, right? They employed you and gave you money to do something. So maybe you should appreciate it a little bit.
Bottom line is, don't forget you are an employee and this is part of the gig.
Right.
And secondly, the people that are outside of your quote unquote arena are the ones to help pay for your gig. So if you don't like them, find another job.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you. And I mean, you know, look, we get called out for bad calls on occasion, and sometimes you just got to own up to it, you know, and freely admit it. And I think the reason that we don't get bashed is because we're usually the first ones to say, yeah, that's my bad. I told everybody to sit Kenny Golladay. And David
Blau, which on paper was the right move.
Yeah, and David Blau threw 800 touchdowns to him. And we'll talk about the Thursday games, but we got to take a break. We're going to take a break right now, and then we'll talk about the Thursday games right after. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
In This League is cooking.
Hello, welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and I'm joined by Casey Bubba for 3 hours of talk today. We've gone down the rabbit hole a little bit in the first two segments.
Just a bit.
But we can right the ship, and that's what we're going to do now. And we're going to talk some football. First of all, let's go down the rabbit hole a little bit more. How was your Thanksgiving? What did you do on Thursday yesterday?
It was good. I got to watch the full Lions game by myself at home. It was beautiful, quiet, peaceful. It was what Kyrie Irving would have loved. But then after that, we went to a friend's house. It's kind of one of those, a lot of us are, there's a lot of close families in the area, and then us that are kind of out of towners, like newbies, well, not newbies, been here for like 12 years. But if you don't have a lot of family around, you can come. So there's like 30 people that go there for Thanksgiving. And we just, you know, cooked 3 or 4 birds. The game was on in the background. We were just doing stuff outside and just relaxing. It was kind of nice to, just check things on the phone or kind of zone out for a bit and live that life and then catch all the highlights at night. But I got my fix of all of the foods that I love. As obviously people have seen me before, me loves the foods.
Samesies for me. So I went over to mom's house, and my cousin was coming over with his 4 kids, and I had to get there early, I thought, to establish TV dominance, right? So, you know, with 4 kids, and they're not young kids. I think the youngest one is 11 or 12. So, but you know, the TV in the meantime can be ripped away from you if you're not paying attention. So
you don't want SpongeBob.
No, we don't want anything but football because it's Thanksgiving. Come on, give me a break. What are we doing? What is this holiday for? It's for eating and football. Everybody knows that. So exactly. It's not about family. It's about eating and football. We all know that.
Exactly.
So I got there early, had the Bears and Lions game on. My mom told me my cousin was showing up at 10:30. I know he's always late. I'm like, he's not showing up at 10:30. I'll show up at 11 and I'll beat him. I showed up at 11 and he didn't get there till 1:30. So I got pretty much all the Bears Lions game down before they got over. And then, you know, of course, the madness and all that stuff. But I didn't get to see the entirety of the Bills and Cowboys game. But we got the result we wanted, of course. The Cowboys lost. So it was a great Thanksgiving day for everyone.
Glorious.
But let's start out with this Bears Lions game. Finished 24-20. But I think the story here really was, first of all, that Eddie Pinheiro made a field goal. I think that was the biggest headline.
Or was the story before he made that field goal where he could have had a longer field goal attempt, and they didn't go for it.
How long was that field goal attempt that they decided?
I think it was like 43, 44 that they skipped on. Something
I mean,
like that.
Why would you? Why would you go for that? It's so funny because Tomlin will do this thing, and it drives me crazy, where no one, I think the longest field goal at Heinz Field is 56 yards, something like 55 or 56 yards. And he'll run Boswell out like at, you know, at one point in the game. It's always on some weird drive. It's never like a halftime kick. It's always like a, yeah, we're coming out of the half and we're going to try a long field goal, and they'll try some 59-yard field goal. I'm like, why are you doing this? He's never going to make that in a million years. I remember him doing it in Super Bowl 45 against the Packers. I'm like, this is a bad decision. This has to be a fake. It has to be a fake. And no, it was just 8 yards short on a field goal. It's like a 61-yard field goal attempt or something. I'm like, this guy's never hit this. Why are you running him out there? But Eddie Pinheiro somehow still has his job for the Bears, I guess because it was a short week. But Trubisky looked good, 29 of 38. 338 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. And David Montgomery looked good. He had 16 carries, 75 yards, 2 catches for 12 and a score. I mean, just tell me, what did you think of this performance by the Bears offense? Because they looked okay.
Well, going into the week, if those listen to the Fantrax DFS show, which I promoted on here a few times, we did a Thanksgiving episode and we'll do the main slate. I was all on the Bears. This is what I wanted to be able to play. I was a big fan of Trubisky. We saw the last 2 weeks, the changes they made to kind of crank it up the offense to benefit Mitchell. We've talked about it the last few weeks that, you know, he needs to be outside the pocket. He needs to be able to scramble more. And we've seen more of that. Now they open up that opening drive, go right down the field to Allen Robinson for the touchdown. Things look great. And then it reverted back to Bears defense. You get a little concerned. That second half, Bogman, the opening drive, they moved it. He got picked. It was a bad Mitchell pass. But then after that, they looked really, really good. And like you said, you did a stat line. He got you almost 30 fantasy points. And this is the third straight week where he's played really well. He's going to have some nice matchups coming up here. If they can keep utilizing the offense like this, and Montgomery was a big factor, but you had Allen Robinson, another monster game. Anthony Miller went bananas, and he could have had a bigger game in the first half when that offense sputtered. Mitchell missed him or didn't even look his way on a couple just wide open bombs. So it was good to see the way they moved around. They utilized their playmakers. They used more up tempo, which is what they played well in. I'm not going to ever trust Matt Nagy to do the right thing. But what they did in this second half is their recipe for success. Yes, the Lions defense isn't great, but what they do by moving Mitch around and keeping the pace going, this is what they need to do, and they did it very well. And this is why Mitch was at least fantasy relevant at times last year, and this is why people were excited about taking him as a late QB1 or at least in a super flex league this year, and we haven't really seen it because it was just a mess of an offense.
Now, on the wide receiver front, you talked about Allen Robinson. He had 12 targets, 8 catches, 86 yards, and a score. That's what you expect. It doesn't. Yes. It hasn't really mattered what week it has been going on, but Allen Robinson has produced pretty much every single week this entire year. It's been nuts. I think 4 for 15 against the Rams. I didn't see he had a 1 for 6. But so those were the two bad games. Everything else has been fairly good for him moving forward this year. He had a 4 for 41, but 7 for 102, 6 for 60, 7 for 77, 7 for 97 and 2, 10 for 87 and a touchdown, 6 for 131 last week in a score. Allen Robinson is moving himself. Where do you think Allen Robinson gets drafted next year?
It's one of those where you'll probably still get him at a discount because people, as long as Nagy's there, that's a big plus. But if Nagy's there and Mitchell's still the quarterback, people are still so down on this offense that you're going to get a wide receiver one at a value. I would say PPR league round 4 to 5.
Like wide receiver 16 or 17.
Yeah. He might barely make your top 20 wide receivers in the draft because people are that scared. Like, they'd probably rather take the 3 Rams receivers if that offense gets back going before they take Allen Robinson.
Oh, God. I mean, that's all going to depend on how Jared Goff plays down the stretch.
Because we're going to get to that because he's good. Yeah, that's going to be,
He's been god awful. But what about Anthony Miller? He had 13 targets, 9 catches, 140 yards. You talked about how he was missed on a couple of wide open ones. And Javon Wims had 6 targets, 5 catches for 56 yards. But normally Taylor Gabriel would be in here eating something up, but he didn't play today. So, or yesterday. What do you think about Anthony Miller as a potential pickup after this week because of this performance? Or Taylor Gabriel's coming back. Anthony Miller's been fairly miserable, plus all the stuff you just mentioned about Trubisky. What do you think about potentially adding Anthony Miller?
If you need a receiver, I have no problem adding Anthony Miller, because even before this week, back-to-back six reception weeks, 54, 77 yards, he's a part of this offense. We saw it last year with Anthony Miller. He's a very athletic, talented receiver. And one thing they were using the previous 2 weeks, because I believe Gabriel played the last 2 weeks that they were playing, is Chicago's been without a tight end. So right. They've been going more three wide, but they've been using him kind of as this tight end that kind of rolls out. And he's been getting a lot of dump off passes and using his speed and ability to get yards after the catch. This week, obviously, he was more in the Gabriel role. He's out wide going deep and whatnot. But he's a very talented receiver. And I think as long as they have the tight end issues they've been having, he's going to be productive in a PPR league. Non-PPR, not so much, because, A, you need to hope the touchdowns come. And he's not going to – this 140 yards was a big week. I don't expect that often. I think 60, 70 yards. But if he gets you five or six catches, you're talking double-digit points every week. That's a pretty stable thing to look at.
Now, on the Lions side, David Blau comes in from Purdue. His first start as an undrafted rookie for the Lions, and he goes 22 of 38, 280, two touchdowns, a pick, and opened up with a 75-yard bomb to Kenny Golladay. And, of course, because I feel like every single person in the industry said, nah, sick Golladay. He's not going to have a good day because they're on their third-string quarterback. Who would have expected Kenny Golladay to go 4 for 158 and a score? And like you know, I just said, most of that work was obviously done on that very first play. But what did you see from the Lions' offense? I mean, Scarborough had a decent day as well. So what do you think about the offense moving forward, potentially without Matt Stafford, because it seems like he's going to get shut down?
Stafford should get shut down. I hope he gets shut down, because that's a scary injury he's got going. Blau was good, and that's about – like, he's serviceable. He reminded me a lot of, the Kyle Allen haters. Like, you could see this turning into that situation. Doesn't have a lot of zip on his pass, if you were watching the game too, and he seemed like he was just kind of – it was working. It just didn't look pretty at all. It just really was floating around out there. The Bears' defense looked lost, but he played really well. And like you mentioned, he hit the big one to Golladay. You take that away, it's like 3 for 50, and you're like, yeah, whatever. Marvin Jones found the end zone, so he made that work. Anybody that benched these guys, I wouldn't care. Blau's good. I imagine they go back to Driscoll because they want to see what they have, because they know he's either going to be a backup or he's nothing. Blau can be that guy that kind of just, journeyman type deal until he maybe gets a more consistent role. So I wouldn't be running to go and grab him unless you hear an announcement that, hey, they're going to use him and you got a super flex league and you need another quarterback. You want to block another team? Sure. But for me, it's Bo Scarborough keeps getting it done. 21 for 83. There's a couple times there on third or fourth and shorts. They didn't use him, which blew my mind. He's a big, big dude, like big dude.
He's enormous. When they were in the national championship game against Clemson, the one I think it was against Georgia, the one where they won on the Tua pass, they were showing pictures of Bo Scarborough, and it was from high school, and he looked like he was 28 years old and just shredded. Looked like he was going into a Mr. Universe contest, which doesn't make a great football player. I mean, we all remember David Boston, of course. Yes. But, he is enormous, like you just mentioned. So seeing them go, because you're right, they went to Ty Johnson around the goal line a couple times. He only wound up with six touches total. So just didn't make a lot of sense. You're right about that for sure.
But yeah, no, he's a guy I got no problem with. I picked him up in a few leagues when I knew he'd be the bell cow. He's very touchdown dependent. He's not a PPR guy because they're not throwing him the ball, period. But he's got some, like we saw a couple breakaway runs from him. He's got skills, and he just feels like one of those guys that he needs the workload to build throughout a game. He's like a mini Derrick Henry is what I'll call it, because Henry can actually bust it. But he's a lot like Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. Like Jordan Howard, I think, is that same kind of Marlon Mack. Like these guys are grinders, I think Marlon Mack is a little bit better. I don't think I gave him enough credit going into the year.
He's a better pass catcher than I thought.
Right. And it's one of those things where you're allowed to be wrong about the young guys because they are still developing. And that's what happened with David Blau, right? I just remember, because I'm a college fantasy nerd as well, I was like, David Blau's just okay as a college fantasy guy. How good can he be in the NFL? Well, you take away the 75-yard bomb to Golladay, and he's 21 and 37 for 215 yards, a pick, and a touchdown. So that's an okay day. But that would be, I think that's more realistic as to what you would expect from a third-string quarterback, right around 200 yards and, a score and a pick. That's
well, and now these NFL teams have that very special thing on hand game tape.
Right, exactly. So he's going to get looked at. Let's get to the Cowboys and the Bills, where the Bills win 26-15 to go to 9-3. They've basically already locked up a wild card spot. Like
how crazy is that sentence that just came out of your mouth?
I mean, yeah, they have it because the Steelers at 6-5 are in the second wild card spot. And so they're, you know, the Bills are three games up on them. And, you know, it opened up with the Jason Witten touchdown, which was nice. But then Cole Beasley and then Devin Singletary on the trick play from John Brown. And then, you know, coming out of halftime, a field goal and then a touchdown by Josh Allen. And you could just feel this going away. This was a one of my favorite podcasts, The Solid Verbal, would call this a crock potting, where you really weren't in it. They just slowly cooked you to death the entire game. And this game was not as close as it, you know, whoever, Dez Bryant's cousin, I guess, whoever this is, Ventel Bryant. I don't know if it's his cousin. I'm just making that up because they have the same last name. But he caught a touchdown at the end of this game. And first of all, everybody was like, who the hell are you? Along with the who was the guy that scored for the Bears? The fullback tight end.
Well, I actually talked about him on the DFS show because they signed him the week before.
Jesper Horsted?
I didn't say he was a must play, but for $2,500, if you wanted to punt, he's a converted wide receiver that's going to run that little wide athletic tight end for Chicago.
Where did he go to college? I don't even know anything. Princeton.
I was going to say Harvard. I knew it was one of those Ivy League schools.
Princeton. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, Jesper Horsted, I thought he was one of the characters in The Hateful Eight. I got to be honest. But he's a tight end for the Bears now. But the Bills win this game going away. I mean, the main focus has been on Dallas and Dak. You know, 32 of 49, 355, two touchdowns and a pick. He's not the reason they lost this game. But he didn't play his best game, and the Cowboys keep losing games. They're 6-6 now, way below expectations from this year. So how worried are you about the Cowboys offense?
Oh, I'd be really worried because Zeke only had 12 carries and they still were garbage. That was the amazing part. I've been saying forever, let them open it up, let them pass it. But I guess I'm not worried about the offense. I'm more worried about the play callers because in weeks past, they should have been passing it when they weren't. This week, you go to play Buffalo, who has one of the best pass defenses all of football, and they can't stop the run. So let's pass the ball 49 frickin' times. Like, I know they got behind the eight ball and you had to, but let's be real, people. Come on now. Because Zeke in the first quarter, when they were still okay, was running it really well. And it kind of surprised me that took place there. It's not pretty.
Why did they stop running the ball?
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it at all. He's averaging
5.9 yards per carry. What are you doing?
He was busting like big ones, like 7-8 yarders at will on them in those early drives. And then they go and try to pass it to Jason Witten or something. And it just went all to bad stuff. It was very, very strange. Amari Cooper had a good game, but had an MRI on his knee. Everything came back okay. But he's banged up time and time again. It was just a bad all-around game. When Jason Witten's got six catches, that's not good. But just, again, it preaches more to the Bills' secondary is very, very good. And when they can go full, you know, making fun of Dak at the end of the game on the sidelines in Dallas, my goodness, as a guy that's not a big Cowboys fan, that was outstanding.
Yeah, ruined my buddy's Thanksgiving. He is a gigantic Cowboys fan, but I was grinning. So that's what I'll say. Sorry, Will. Sorry, fam. Sorry, Rob. One of our best listeners, Rob Ditton, huge Cowboys fan. Not a great Thanksgiving day for him as far as this went, but I'm sure he still had a good time with his family and stuff like that. But we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about the Thursday game and then start diving into how Casey did on the against the spread over unders last week, and me as well, and the Welsh and all that good stuff. We'll be coming at you after this break. We'll be right back.